God works his sovereign will despite men, using men, even though men may not even know that they're being used by God.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor at Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad you've joined us. We're in a series called The ABCs of Prayer, and we have been taking a look at praying with an attitude of gratitude. And we've been looking at 8 reasons why. So far in our series, we've looked at, we pray with that attitude because of the person of God, who he is, the perception of God, the power of God. Today, Pastor, we're going to be looking at the prerogative of God. What do you mean that we need to be praying with an attitude of gratitude based on the prerogative of God?
Well, God is sovereign, and you've said that time and time again. What does that mean? Well, in the colloquialism of my young people, it means that God is Big Bala, Shakala, number one stunner, player from the Himalayas. All that means is this: he's in charge. And he does what he wants to do. And he does not consult our daytimer. He does not ask us to come to the committee meeting. He determines what he wants done, period.
Yeah, regardless of who's in charge.
Doesn't matter.
Regardless of who wins any future election or what political party may happen to be in office.
God is sovereign. He is going to use whoever is in office to fulfill his will. And here's the thing that we're not even thinking about with this upcoming thing, and that is this. We are in the last days, and we're moving into the latter days. And so the things that we see happening, those things have been predicted by the Bible. So we as believers, we should not be taken by surprise at what's happening. God already told us that this is what it was going to be.
Yeah,
we ought to be excited a little bit, because that means, you know, Jesus is coming. He's going to crack the sky and we're out of here.
I hope that happens sooner rather than later.
Man, tell me about it.
That would be great. Well, we have been looking at praying with this attitude of gratitude, and we're actually looking at Daniel chapter 2. So if you can, I hope you'll grab your Bible and join us there. Let's get started today. Here's Pastor Ford.
Now, you can look at Daniel's prayer, and you can tell that Daniel's prayer was based on calamity that was impending. But it's as powerful a prayer of thanksgiving as it was a prayer of importunity. Did you understand what I'm saying? The intensity of his prayer when he prayed, "Help me out of this situation." It was very intense. Like, you ain't never been in trouble. Like your prayer life ain't never changed and got real serious real quick. Like you ain't never said, "Lord, if you get me out of this one, I will." You kept yours. You doing good. And so this is what we see. Daniel's gratitude is as intense as the prayer that he prayed. Now, Daniel's grateful for the deliverance that God supplied. And the question on the floor is, as we continue in this passage, is your gratitude for God, to God, for answering your importune prayer as great and as intense as was your importune prayer itself? Now, don't raise your hand. But if your answer was yes, then I have some questions. Let's walk through this text. If your answer is, "Oh, yes, I had just as much gratitude for his answer to prayer, and I had just as much intensity thanking him as I did praising him." When I was asking him, "Oh, God, you got to do this." And when I started praising him, I started saying, "Thank you, Lord. I praise your name. Thank you." Same intensity. If you said yes, then let me ask you a question. Then why hasn't it strengthened your worship life? Because it did for Daniel in verse 19. Let me ask you then, if you say yes, then why hasn't it strengthened your commitment to Jesus Christ? It did for Daniel in verse 20? If your answer is yes, then why hasn't it changed the way you view your problems and your circumstances? It did for Daniel in verse 21. If the answer is yes, then why hasn't it caused you to be a better student of God's word? It did for Daniel in verse 22. Then if you say yes, then why don't you break out into more spontaneous praise? It did for Daniel, verse 23. See, we got to be like Granny. Her church was very lively. And she couldn't make it anymore. And there was one right next door. But it's real what they call a silk stocking church. You know, silk stocking, highfalutin, high liturgy, prim, proper, precise, you know, and quiet. And Granny was used to a loud church. And so she went in and preacher preached. She opened up her Bible. She's the only one that had one. She said, he's preaching, and she couldn't even get with the message because it was like he had opened the Bible, but he was exegeting the newspaper. And so she just started reading about. She said, "Amen." Usher came and said, "Ma'am, don't do that in here. We don't do that." She said, "But I'm reading my Bible. I can't help it." He said, "You don't have to help it. You can't do that." She said, "But I got something." And he said, "Well, lady, I don't know what you got, but you didn't get it here. Now, you got to be quiet." So she's still reading her Bible while he's exegeting the newspaper. And she hollers out, "Amen." And he comes back and he says, "Listen, lady, you can't have this spontaneous interruption of our service here." She said, "But I'm reading the Bible. And everywhere I read about what Jesus has done, he died. Now, I just get so excited, I got to say, amen." He said, "All right, I tell you what. Then give me your Bible. We're going to give you a geography book." So he gave her a geography book. And he turned around to walk away, and she's reading geography book. All of a sudden, she says, "Hallelujah!" He turns around, he goes back, he says, "What is wrong with you, lady? You're reading a geography book, not the Bible." She said, "Well, I was reading that there are some places in the ocean that man has never been, and there's nothing that could get them to the bottom of it. And I remember that's where he cast my sins." Hallelujah! He said, "Give me that geography book." And he gave her a cookbook. And he said, "Now, you ain't going to shout on this." And before he could turn around, "Hallelujah!" He said, "Now, what are you talking about now?" She said, "I'm reading this recipe for a special kind of bread. And I remember Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven." Hallelujah! He took it. He said, "Okay, we're not even going to give you a book. We'll give you a map." She's looking at the map, and it says to get here, from here to here, follow this. She said, "Hallelujah!" He said, "Now, wait a minute, I gave you a map." She said, "Yeah, but it tells me how to get from one place to another." And Jesus said, "If I want to get from heaven, from earth to heaven, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to..." Hallelujah! Yeah. And he said, "Okay, you know what? One of the children left their ABC cards, so I'm just going to give you that, and you can't shout on that." She said, "Just hold on to them, because he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. So don't even give them to me." Hallelujah! Yeah, we need some folk that want to have some spontaneous praise. Yeah, you don't need a choir. Don't need a praise leader. Don't need it. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries, "Hallelujah. I thank God for saving me." How many planes have you ridden on and you're here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Some people took their first plane ride. It was their last plane ride. But you're here with us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at all the soldiers that were lost in Iraq and Afghanistan. But you're here tonight. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I don't know, you ought to be thankful too. Because the folk who went to bed last night didn't get up this morning. But you did. There were folk who went to bed in their right mind and woke up crazy as a sprayed roach this morning. You ought to be praising the Lord. Somebody lost all their money last night. Somebody lost their child. Somebody lost their wife. Somebody lost their husband. Somebody lost their job. Somebody lost their house. Somebody lost their health. And here you are sitting up in the assembly of God. You've got health and strength. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Got to give him the glory. And so last week, last week, here's where we were. I'm going to go through the first 3 points that we covered very quickly. We said then, if you have an attitude of gratitude for God answering your importune prayer, like Daniel, then you will be grateful for his person. So he starts off, his focus is on Yahweh. Remember, 5 times he said he. 1 time in 5 verses he said his. 2 times thou. Thee 3 times. So he says God and makes references to him about 14 times in 5 verses. And we've seen then the centrality of his person, the character of his person, his name, verse 19, we're in verse 19, and the continuity of his person, that is, forever and ever. And when you look at this thing, as New Testament saints, we know that Jesus demanded greater allegiance than any dictator. You know the difference? He deserves it and they don't. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Then secondly, we saw we're grateful for his person, but we're grateful for his perception. He says that wisdom is his and his alone. So then this wisdom is God's omniscience. He knows everything. He's never matriculated in anybody's school. No one ever taught him anything.
With a God like that, we can rest assured in his sovereignty, knowing that he is in control, can't we? We're listening to a message entitled Praying with an Attitude of Gratitude. It's part of a series called The ABCs of Prayer. It's been a long series, and maybe you've missed some of the broadcasts. Well, you can always find them at our website. Just come to treasuretruthradio.org. You can download MP3s, order copies on CD, or just simply stream them through your computer. Another way to listen to Treasure Truth is to have the Moody Radio app. In addition to this program, you'll find other Moody Radio programs and internet music stations. And you can listen on the go when it's convenient for you. You'll find links to the app, which are available for your Apple products like iPads or iPhones, as well as your Android phones and tablets, when you come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
So then we saw the reservoir of wisdom, the reservoir of wisdom, verse 20. They are his and his alone. Then we saw the revelation of wisdom, verse 22. He is the one who opens the darkness of our eyes. And then we saw the reception of wisdom, verse 23. Then we looked at his power. He says, wisdom and might are his, verse 20. And so we said, power, is omnipotence. So then wisdom, omniscience, power, omnipotence. God has both, which means then God knows what to do and God has the power to do it. And that's what we need. And so let's pick up where we left off. Now, that's where we left off last week. Let's look then at the fourth aspect of gratitude that should be articulated to God for answering our importune prayers, according to Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Grateful for his prerogative. Verse 21, listen to what he says. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He, it's emphatic. What does it mean? He and he alone. God has cornered the market on it. So you know what that means? Bobby Brown is not the only one who can talk about it's my prerogative. I do what I want to do. He's saying God is in control, and he calls him the God of the heaven, God of heaven. Now let me explain that, because he's the God of heaven, because they're in captivity, and the heathen worship the creation rather than the creator, and so the people of the of the exile call God, the God of heaven, more in exile than they did when they were in Israel. They call him the God of Israel. Now we're out of our land, but we recognize that you're not just God of a locality. You're not just God of a people. You're the God of heaven. You run everything. So Daniel was saying God is in control. Listen to this. He says, Yahweh changeth. Then he goes on to say, Yahweh reveals. Then he says, Yahweh sets up. And then he says, Yahweh taketh down. And then he says, Yahweh giveth. Man, this is another way. Now, why would you go through? Why would you say all that? Why don't you just say God is in control? Well, the reason I don't say that is because someone may not read into the fact that when I say God is in control, I mean everything. So what I want to do is break it down for you and let you know that God is indeed the one that does it all. And so he gives us five different categories. Now, before we talk about them, I got a question. Daniel, how do you know God is in control? Are you, did you read that in your Torah? Well, it's in my Torah, but that's not how I learned this. Did you learn it in Sunday school with Elder Russ Knight as your Sunday school teacher? No, you can hear it there, but that isn't where I learned. Did you hear it at prayer meeting, Bible study? Did you hear it on Sunday morning service from that good-looking preacher, Reverend Avery? Had to throw you a curve, you know. Now, where'd you get the 411 on God's prerogative? And Daniel would say, I learned it by experience. Here's what he would tell you. He would say, listen, I'm in captivity. I was taken from my homeland, and we were beaten in battle, made slaves, brought to Babylon, changed our name, a foreign land, and now my life is in danger. I wasn't even included with the wise man, wasn't allowed to hobnob with them, but I'm going to die with them. That's something, isn't it? Yep. When you have the responsibilities but don't have any of the privileges. Wow. Something's wrong with that picture, but I'll leave that for another sermon. And he says, my prayer is because God has intervened in human plans in time. Here's what he's saying. Nebuchadnezzar is the man. He controls everything. So he said, we're all going to die. But God pulled out the trump card and trumped his ace and set him so that he didn't make his bid. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong place. Yeah. Here's what he's saying. The answer to my prayer will change human history. So God is in control and not man. God has overridden and overruled the plans of man. That is, God vetoes the plan of man. That's why no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You don't believe me? Ask Isaac. He was digging some wells, and they wouldn't let him be at peace. And finally, God made a way, and he named it Rehoboth. God has made room for me. Ask Joseph. You know what he said. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Ask Jephthah. He wasn't good enough to go to church with them, but when they had a problem, they wanted him to be the leader because even though his mother was a prostitute and even though he didn't have a pristine background, he was the kind of person you needed for the job. You don't believe me? Ask David, because David will tell you he was running from Saul and Saul was trying to kill him, but he couldn't do it. Ask Peter. He's in jail waiting to have his head chopped off. Ask Jesus. They wanted to crucify him, and they did. But Jesus said, except the seed die, it abideth alone. But if you plant it in the ground, it produces fruit. And here we are. So Nebuchadnezzar is like most husbands. Think they're in charge, but they're not. And let me just say it, the man who says he's boss in his own home will lie about other things too. It's like one little boy's talking to another little boy. Remember, he used to do this. My daddy can beat your daddy. Little boy didn't say anything. He said, you heard what I said? My daddy can beat your daddy. Little boy said, it ain't no big deal. My mama can beat my daddy. Here's what Napoleon said. Napoleon said, God is on the... They came to Napoleon. They said, Napoleon, he was going through Europe like X-Lax. And they said, Napoleon, they said, you think God is on our side since we're winning? He said, I quote, God is on the side with the heaviest artillery and the largest army. And so with the heaviest artillery and the largest army of any army at that time, he went and was defeated at Waterloo. He was placed into exile on the island of St. Helena, and this is what he did. They asked him, well, I thought you had the greatest artillery and the greatest army. And he quoted Thomas A. Kempis. Anybody ever heard of him? He says, I got four words. Man proposes, but God disposes. He was an individual who had to find out what we're learning in our text. I know what you're saying. When you're going to get to the exposition, right in a minute, right before I remind you of what we talked about, ad infinitum, ad nauseum. So what's he saying? He's saying, listen, God works his sovereign will despite men, using men, even though men may not even know that they're being used by God. Now, what example did we talk about? Caesar and his decree. What did he want? Money. What did he do? Everybody go back to the place of your birth. What did he help fulfill? Micah 5:2. He would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. Did he know that? No. He uses free will. But man proposes, God disposes. The Proverbs say it this way, the lot is cast, the dice is shot, but the disposing thereof is of the Lord.
Pastor James Ford Jr. with a really an important message today here on Treasure Truth. God is in control. And you know, for that, we can be eternally grateful. Well, we're currently in the middle of a series called The ABCs of Prayer, and it's a look at the basics of communicating with God. You know, prayer is a fundamental task for any believer. And if you're in a place in your Christian walk where you need some help, maybe some guidance in talking with God, you want to contact us and request a copy of the complete series, The ABCs of Prayer. You can find it online when you go to treasuretruthradio.org. Well, whether you consider yourself a veteran student of the Bible or a novice, all of us need trusted resources to help us learn more and to encourage you and equip you as you struggle to follow Christ. Moody Publishers has a great collection of books and a wide variety of topics, including several by Pastor Ford. When you agree to become a monthly partner by auto gift at a level of $30 or more, you're going to have immediate access to any resource offered by Moody Publishers at a 50% discount. Now, there's no waiting around for a coupon to come in the mail or poring over a catalog waiting for an interesting item to come on clearance. As a monthly partner, your 50% discount applies to everything in the store. Become a monthly partner today and start receiving your discount. Call us at 1-888-644-7660 or come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org. Well, I'm Steve Hiller. Our producers are Amy Rios, Mark Bretta, and Nathan McMillan. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.